This morning's gospel comes from Matthew in the first chapter. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours from the triune God. Amen. So, confession time. In the time that I have spent serving as your pastor, I have accompanied many of you through times of illness and grief, offering you a listening ear, a prayer, a hug, even just simply being present with you in silence, sometimes in my office, at the hospital, at the funeral home. And I have to admit that there are moments often when I have felt a sense of imposter syndrome, as if I was ministering to you at arm's length, because it was always from a perspective of sympathy and not empathy. You see, it's because before 2024, I had not lost an immediate member of my family or a dear, dear close friend or loved one. I didn't know what the depths of grief really feel like. And before 2024, I had never waited for test results, overwhelmed with anxiety and uncertainty. Before 2024, I'd never had to limit my work or activities for treatment. The feelings that accompany loss of a loved one and illness have sort of become my teachers over the last 9 months. And I know that many of you in this room have also journeyed with grief and loss in 2024 and illness. And others have wrestled with other types of uncertainty and anxiety, with school or jobs, with relationships, with finances. This week's gospel passage strikes me very differently this year. I relate to Joseph and Mary's predicament more than I ever have before. We are 2,000 years removed from this ancient story in this culture, and we have the privilege of seeing their story in context. We can see what happens after this story. We can recognize the joy and the magic in it. But I think we forget that this is probably not likely how Joseph and Mary felt over the course of these first 9 months. We forget that for them, these are real life problems. It's easier for me to imagine their emotions this year. Anxiety, uncertainty, hurt, skepticism, rejection, grief. Can you relate to these? And yet, in the midst of all of these feelings, both Mary and Joseph choose hope. They choose to move forward trusting in God's promises when they have everything to lose. Choosing hope is also harder than I ever imagined before. Now, I know that my type of cancer is curable, and it's slow growing, and my prognosis is positive, it's good, but I did not know that 2 months ago when I discovered a lump underneath my armpit. I didn't know that when I was going through the initial examination and the ultrasound and the CT scan and the blood work and the biopsy and doom scrolling on medical websites, which I do not recommend to any of you. When all of this started, I called a close friend and colleague from seminary because outside I was wearing this brave face, but inside I was struggling. And I asked if she would pray for me over the phone, and something that she said in her prayer sticks with me even now. In her prayer, she said, "Oh God, you already know what this is. You already know what is happening in his body. You already know about tomorrow, and you are already there." Her wise words helped me learn a little bit about what it means to have hope, and they enabled me to choose hope every morning when my feet hit the floor. And I'm still learning about what it means to choose hope every day. And you see, hope is different than optimism. Hope is like a warm, lingering hug, a warm embrace. Optimism is like a high five. Both are good, but only one gets close enough to embrace and to share the load of fear and anxiety. Hope does not take away suffering, but it comes and sits down next to you and listens to you and says, "I am here with you." Optimism really doesn't have to say much about suffering. Choosing hope, you see, is leaning into God's embrace. It's placing yourself into God's care, allowing God's grace and presence to surround you. It means entrusting yourself to God's care. And this is by no means easy. It's also hard to entrust those we love into God's care too. At the beginning of this year, I remember sitting in my mom's hospital room praying silently and suddenly realizing how much I resisted trusting God with my mom. I realized that God loved her too, even more than I did. God created her. She belonged to God. You see, choosing hope is allowing God to be God for us and with us. God calls Mary and Joseph to believe and to act. God gives them this promise. Mary is carrying in her womb Emmanuel, God with us. God and Jesus Christ is with them. They are not alone. God is for them and with them in every sense of the word. And there are many instances of uncertainty that remain on the horizon for Mary and Joseph. There is the arduous trek to Bethlehem, finding nowhere to shelter besides animal stalls and a manger. And then after the Magi arrive and leave, King Herod, worried and fearful, orders the execution of all children in Bethlehem, ages 2 and younger, forcing Mary and Joseph then to flee to Egypt, literally becoming refugees to escape. Mary and Joseph will lose Jesus in the crowd, and a few days later, find him in the temple, teaching much older people. Mary will see her son crucified and raised up again. And through it all, they choose hope. So my friends, whatever you might be feeling in this season, remember that you can at the same time both feel joy and sorrow. You can feel expectation and uncertainty. You can have courage and also still be fearful. We can hold these things in tension with each other because there is hope in all of these things. God is in all of these things. God is with you and for you in whatever season life brings you into. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Even when the light is just a glowing ember, it still forces the shadows away. Where God is, there is light. Where God is, there is hope. Where God is, there is mercy and grace, stitching together pieces to make something new, perhaps like a quilt. Where God is, there is love, which drives away fear. Choosing hope is allowing yourself to be vulnerable. It's risking that God might actually bring about something new in your life that makes you stronger and more compassionate and content, because God will surely bring you closer to God's self. And then when there is hope, there is also joy. There can be moments of dancing and singing and laughing because God shares our burdens and lightens the load and points us towards love. So my prayer for you this day is that you not settle for a high five. Don't simply settle for optimism when you long for a warm embrace. Choose hope. Choose hope every day by entrusting yourself to God's care for today and tomorrow and beyond. Cling to God's love because God is already clinging to you. Just as I have never experienced deep loss or illness before 2024, I've also never received so much love and support and encouragement and solidarity as I have in 2024. I have never been so reminded of God's love than I am now by all of you sitting here, by those who have sent me messages, by my family and friends and colleagues. And I should not be surprised, after all, because God works through people. God works through ordinary people like you and I, like Mary and Joseph, to do extraordinary things through simple means. God knows what tomorrow will bring, and the next day, and the next day. God is the God of our tomorrow so that we can have hope for today. That is God's love in action, my friends. St. Paul said this, "Now these three abide, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." Thanks be to God.